sounds of residential construction may be less than music to the ears of growth-conscious San Diegans who feel that each nail is sealing the coffin on their city's quality of life. But just a few miles away in eastern Tijuana, for some 100 poor Mexican families, this is the sound of a better life. The simple 850-square-foot houses which are being built with and for them by Habitat for Humanity may seem like palaces which few of them could ever dream of owning. And one of these families doubtless never dreamed that helping them put up their walls and roof would be a former president and first lady of that wealthy country to the north.
The thing that I like most is working on the houses. The thing that I don't particularly like is taking time off for interviews. But it's very important to us, for the people who listen to public radio, to know what we're doing.
While Americans have become accustomed to seeing their former president swinging golf clubs rather than hammers, Carter, who shares with his wife a small tent no different from those of the hundreds of other volunteers, is perhaps more at home doing this than he was in the White House.
We enjoy this. You know, Rose and I have worked all our lives. You know, when I was first got out of the Navy, I went home, I sold fertilizer and I grew peanuts. And my business the first year, I sold 3,000 tons of fertilizer. I didn't have any employees. I loaded every bag of that 3,000 tons out of boxcars into my warehouse and out of my warehouse on farmers' trucks. So, you know, this is, this kind of work is very, similar to what I've done all my life.
Still, Carter is aware that as a former president, even his manual labor is somewhat of a media event. He is quick to downplay his physical role in Habitat, as well as appreciate that the prestige of his interlude in the White House has applications to numerous worthy causes.
We get a lot more credit for Habitat work than we deserve. We only actively work as carpenters for 1 week a year. But, you know, a lot of people prepare for this week, and then they clean up after we're gone, and they sign up the families, local communities around the world. So the rest of the year, we work on Carter Center projects. You know, we can start a project, a health project or an agriculture project in Africa, in a country, by meeting with the king or the president, the prime minister, and cabinets, and get it started, send our people in, and we only have to go back to that country, you know, maybe once a year. So although it sounds like a lot, you know, we work on those things really through our representatives.
One of those representatives is Millard Fuller, the founder of Habitat for Humanity and a fellow Georgian. Fuller, who has written books about Habitat for Humanity, espouses a Christian philosophy about its prospects that reflects the motto, Miracle on the Border, which is emblazoned on the project's t-shirts and hats.
My position is, from a philosophical or from a Christian point of view, is that all of the people are available and all of the resources are available to solve the problem everywhere. We just have to plug people in into a viable program and, go out there with own faith, start driving nails and sawing boards, and it's amazing what gets accomplished when you move forward like that.
With Carter's assistance, Fuller has fashioned an organization that is building houses for low-income families in over 500 communities worldwide. Eligible families contribute hundreds of hours of their own sweat equity, which, along with donated materials, no-interest nonprofit mortgages, and the labor of volunteers, produces homes which, if Spartan, are safe, sound, and sanitary. If only a fraction of the hundreds of volunteers were at the morning Christian devotional service on this day, any random sample of volunteers would reveal that those not moved by a sense of religious duty are not short on secular motivation. Sharing the rude facilities of their tent city, the young, old, skilled, and unskilled feel that they are receiving as much as they are giving. Klaus Sparn came from Frankfurt.
The time I put in here is actually not only giving my time for others, I gain out of it, maybe more than I give into. The friendship with families, like Emilio here, you see him working down there. He doesn't speak any English, I don't speak any Spanish, but we both put one roof on his house together. And we completed that, and our supervisor said it's a great job, and this kind of feelings, this spiritual feelings to get out of this work, besides the skills you gain in construction, they really give you a very good feeling.
Two middle-aged California women were applying stucco to the prefab mesh styrofoam walls. Like Sparn, who is a restaurant manager, neither had worked in building before, but they shared his attitude about Habitat.
It's just extremely rewarding and gratifying to see the family's pride that they are taking in this house and working side by side with them. you know, we want to do it right because they're there, and he's also checking, you know, that everything is right.
Yet if you lift your vision over these neat rows of habitat homes, there's a continuous panorama of squalid shacks covering the nearby hills. It is a vision to turn the skeptic to cynicism, a doubter to despair. But Johnny Gallo from New York is neither of these. He's a bantamweight with the powerful arms and hands of years as a stonemason, with a big, compassionate heart that readily moves him from laughter to tears. Johnny may not be a former president, but he's seen the personification of selfless volunteerism. He described how he got involved with Habitat for Humanity.
I answered a news article one time. They needed cement finishes for driveways and sidewalks. And I wasn't doing anything, so I went. That was 4 years ago, and I've been hooked ever since.
Were you in a trade before?
I mean, I'm a stonemason by trade, and I retired 4 or 5 years ago. I'm 65 now, but I retired early. And well, it's a waste to let it go for nothing. So these people need it, so I work with them. And I love to do it. And it reminds me, Jim, when we grew up in New Rochelle, west side of New Rochelle, slums, tenements. We had to share bathrooms with other people. We didn't have nothing. These people don't have anything.
This is James Clapp for KPBS Radio.